welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having an awesome day today. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. And we have Dad again with us, as always. How are you doing today, Dad?
I'm doing a lot better than yesterday. Yesterday, I spent too much time in the sun. Your grandmother is out of town right now, and I had to run some sprinkler lines for her yesterday, and I was outside too long doing that and got kind of overheated, so my mental acuity was down a little bit. So you got to love your mother-in-law to do that. That's all I can say. Or at least your wife. What's your first story, buddy?
Well, this is interesting now. The one thing that we've seen, you know, with Obamacare and how what a horrible collapse it's basically starting to turn into. I mean, a massive collapse. But on the other side, too, we've seen how Hillary on almost every single occasion talks out of both sides of her mouth. She says one thing in public, she says a different thing in private. And now one of the emails that got released yesterday went into detail on a memo. This is back just from August of 2015. It was barely a year ago now. And what she states in a memo, she's discussing the Obamacare policies and stuff that's going on. And she says right here, I'll support repeal with sense of Senate when revenues have been found. I'd be open to a range of options to do that, but we have to be careful and make sure the R version passes, which will begin the unraveling of the ACA. So it clearly is from this email that unraveling Obamacare is precisely what Clinton desires, even though she tells everybody that she wants to keep it, she wants to make it stronger, that it's great, this and that, and even uses it a negative point towards Trump and saying when he wants to repeal it. But what's interesting about this now is it seems to be that she wants to do away with it and go with something even more tyrannical than what we already have. But it's crazy to me, Dad, because, you know, my question is, the people, all of us that have been paying these fines now for the last 3 years, what happens if Obamacare collapses next year? If it just flat out collapses? That's what the a news article came out today. It said our diagnosis as doctors, Obamacare is about to collapse. It's an utter failure becoming more obvious by the day. And they go to detail on saying how it's literally on its last leg. So do we get a refund check from the government for all the fees well, that we paid in? I don't know, do we?
you've got to remember, Austin, we're not getting insurance. We're just being fined.
Right, that's my point.
Yeah, you know, and so it's just, it's almost, it's funny you should ask that. And that's what's ironic about this. If they were, let's say if they fine us $4,000 or $5,000 for the year, okay, and they'll say the following year, they say, okay, you paid $5,000 in fines last year. Now we're going to give you a $500 a month or $400 a month insurance policy for the next year, and we're going to do the same thing the following year. We're going to fine you. Okay, I got that, okay, $20,000 deductible, whatever, catastrophic coverage, whatever. Okay, at least you're getting something. At least it's going somewhere. This is just going into the giant fiscal black hole of the United States government. Yeah. What it does, it helps to build drones to kill civilians. That's where the money's going. And see, that's the problem with it. You got me started here already. That's the problem I've got with this whole thing. This is why I have to pretend, because of the income tax that I pay. I pretend that I've bought a certain section of my interstate close to my house, and this is Ted's Road. This is Ted's Road. And when I get on the on-ramp, I think, I paid for this in the last 20 years. I paid for this portion of Ted's Road. And then I can smile and drive down the road and say, okay, I'm all right with paying my income tax and my Social Security taxes for Ted's Road. I'm okay with that. And so what I do is I intentionally delude myself. That's what this is delusion. I delude myself into thinking it's okay. Here's the problem with any of this. Money is fungible. In other words, what they spend on the road isn't necessarily my money. It can be anybody's money because what they're doing is running on giant deficits anyhow. But what they do is if I give them income tax money, which I do, I pay all my taxes and then some every year. I'm very, very good. I got a great CPA. They pay, we probably pay much more than we're supposed to pay. But what's interesting about this is the money is fungible because they can move it around from one department to another department to another department. So the reality is that we're all just getting, we're all doing a sucker bet. We're all basically throwing taxes in thinking we're actually supporting the government or supporting this or that. We're not supporting anything. We're supporting the globalist march to tyranny in the United States. That's what we're supporting. Now, I can pretend and delude myself that I bought the little quarter section mile of I-4. I can do that. And that makes it more palatable for me to do this. But the truth of the matter is, Austin, with these giant deficits over $1 trillion a year, with $9 trillion lost in the defense budget, $9 trillion, like I said, these deep underground caverns are expensive. You know, so it's just one of these deals. I mean, it's just, they're using the United States currency because it's the reserve currency of the world. It's traded in petrodollars. You can't buy oil for the Middle East without going into petrodollars into United States currency. So the whole world still has to use our currency, so it's maintained its value without hyperinflation. And so they can literally print as much money in off-book balance sheets, which they've been doing, is like they've already shown us that. And that allows them to continue to do anything they want to do with any projects anywhere and pay them in U.S. dollars. That's why it's so important that Qatar runs the gas line through Syria, because all that gas then will be going into Europe, traded in petrodollars. That's what this whole war about in Syria is happening. The Rothschild banking cartel, who controls the Middle East, controls Saudi Arabia, controls all of this, they want to continue their domination of world currency using petrodollars and the currency being used for oil. We have free energy right now. Tesla gave that to us back over 100 years ago. There's more energy in the ionosphere and in the atmosphere with magnetic energy and also ionized energy in the atmosphere, and with sunlight energy, we could power cars and homes and everything totally for free. And that's what Tesla wanted to do with this Warkincliffe Tower that was financed and owned by the Rothschilds through J.P. Morgan. He wanted to basically beam free energy. And when they found out it was going to be free with no power transmission lines to meter the amount, they killed the whole project. They killed the whole project, the Rothschild boys did. These are the same guys that have financed Soros. These are the same Sabbatean cabalists that have financed Hillary. They're the same group that wants to enslave us into a world dominion under Lucifer. The same people. It's always this international banking group. And of course, when Trump mentions it the other day, said it's the international bankers, or Jones mentions it, he says it's the international bankers, then immediately the media says that Jones and Trump are both anti-Semitic. Why are they anti-Semitic? I mean, these bankers need to own up on what they are, these Luciferians, and what they've done, and how they've enslaved the entire population of the planet through fiat currency. And basically, it's funny money is what it is. It's a giant Ponzi scheme. And this is what's happened to us. But as long as they can maintain the petrochemical industry, with all of the oil money being traded in petrodollars, they'll continue to have their Ponzi scheme work perfectly. Now, here's the problem. If we develop free energy, or we develop some type of other type of energy we could use, like Tesla was doing, anything, you know, zero point energy, anything, if we developed any of those technologies to the point of being cost effective, it would put the petrochemical corporations and all of this oil out of business. Nobody would need to be drilling and messing up the Gulf of Mexico. But that whole Gulf of Mexico, that was something different than what you guys think it is. Someday I'm going to tell you what I know about that. And it's so weird, I don't even like talking about it. But that Deepwater Horizon was not what you think it was. All right, watch the movie, see if you can pick up the hints on it. But what's interesting about this is they know how to produce free energy for everybody right now. Everybody, free energy right now. But the problem is they don't want to do that because the Rothschild banking cartel has used the petrochemical industry and oil as a stranglehold. Remember, oil is not, I'm going to tell you guys something that you probably don't know. Oil is not dino oil. It's not from dinosaurs or decaying plant matter. That's completely bogus. That's a total and complete lie. It doesn't do that. The earth itself, when it processes water at high speeds, through crevices and cracks, through transmutation, actually takes water and it gets converted into fuel oil, into diesel fuel, type of diesel, which eventually collects and causes the oil. The earth itself is a generator of natural oil production. There's no way that you're getting dinosaur oil, you know, 10 miles down under the ground in the middle of the ocean somewhere. It's nonsense. And they know it's nonsense. The earth continues to replenish its supply of oil, period. That's what it does. And so that's what people don't get from a physics standpoint. High pressure and high velocity in water transmutes water. It creates a super strong electrical field. I did a whole show on this on Hagman. I've got the notes here somewhere. I'll probably read you the notes from the show on one day this week, but I've got to dig them up first. But that's the thing that nobody gets. It's not dino oil. That's been disproven repeatedly. It's nonsense. The earth itself creates huge amounts of oil and other substances through pressure and speed of water through cracks. And the fracturing and all the stuff they're doing doesn't help anything. These are super, super deadly stuff they're dumping into that water supply down there, contaminating wells all over the country. And now they would have put frack wastewater and unlimited supplies into the Gulf of Mexico. Nothing wrong there. Nothing here to see. Move on. I mean, ridiculous. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this is interesting now down here in Florida, guys. You know, we've talked about it on the show briefly, but it's getting much worse. I even pulled the article up today because we saw the first forecast from the USDA for the orange crop, the citrus crop in Florida for the 16 to 17 growing season indicates another 14% drop in the state's orange crop. On Wednesday last week, the USDA predicted farmers would have enough oranges to fill 70 million boxes for the season. Last season, Florida produced 81.5 million boxes, which was a 52-year low. The latest forecast shows that the region is in the midst of the worst orange harvest crisis since records began in 1913. After the announcement, the Florida Commissioner of Agriculture, Adam Putnam, said the forecast is disheartening and further proof that there's difficult times facing Florida's citrus industry, which have been dealing with citrus greening, is what they're blaming it on, an incurable bacterial disease that can kill a tree within 2 years. Now, the amount of loss that we're dealing in this state right now from this agriculture crop is really, really bad, guys. I mean, the oranges are like number one growing plant here in Florida. And not only have we seen with the aluminum, this almost coincided exactly when they started doing this aerial spraying, but a lot of it, too, is all the different pesticides and glyphosate and everything else they're using throughout the entire state as this stuff does spread. So this is kind of sad that this is happening in our state, but, I mean, we've seen it here all around us. They've been pushing up orange trees all over the place, just clearing them out and burning them because they can't get anything to grow on them.
Well, okay, let me share something with you. Aluminum, okay, is toxic to every living thing.
Yeah.
However, some plants are more susceptible to it. In other words, our oak trees and some of our bushes and things that really aren't that susceptible to it. But when you have nano aluminum that you're pumping into all of these plants, basically through the chemtrails. Now, whether you believe that or not, doesn't really matter. I've got my two lab tests that I did on my own rainwater 6 months apart posted on my website showing that the water levels were so toxic in rain with barium and aluminum that it wasn't safe to drink according to EPA standards. It's on my website. I personally did the test. I used a 500 milliliter Pyrex beaker. I filled it up with water twice. Said it's in a sealed container, in a sample container, to a laboratory out in California, and I had them send me the results back. I mean, you've seen them, Austin. We've actually done emails on this. So I'm not trying to pretend like I haven't tested the water myself. Now, when you put this aluminum on stuff, I mean, we tried to plant a garden here a couple of years ago, couldn't plant a garden. It just doesn't work. I mean, the soil is so poisoned, and it's nutty because you think, well, how in that? But now you can bring soil in and you can plant a garden. If you get some deep topsoil, then it's not contaminated with this. But then as soon as you start, you know, raining down the aluminum on it, it's going to get contaminated again. But this was done intentionally. This is all about bringing the population to heal. Remember, Hillary says that black young men are basically apex predators and they have to be brought to heal. Now, I'm not making this up. That's what she said. That's one of her quotes, very loosely quoted, but very, very close to that. So this is what we have to do. We have to bring the people to heal, basically like a dog, right? You have to bring them to heal. You know, when I was training dogs back in college, I remember when I was taking all these classes to teach them how to train the dogs, I remember one of the things you have to, you know, when you yank them with a choke chain and make them walk in line, you yell, heal! And you yank the choke chain, and they roll real quick that once you say heal, they're about to get choked. And so they learn quickly that once you say that, they pull up next to you and they walk right beside you. That's what they're doing. They're using a choke chain, or they're doing it with the chemtrails, and they're doing it with the glyphosate. They're doing it with all the chemicals in the water, the chemicals in the food, and all of this to bring us to heal. They've got to cull the population. That's their big goal here. That's what all this is about. But in the meantime, hungry people do what you tell them to do. Starving people do what you tell them to do. People who are dying of thirst do what you tell them to do. Period. That's what they do. And that's what they're doing. This whole thing with TSA, all of the stuff they're doing is to train us how to respond properly in the event they implement all of their FEMA camps so that we just march back into the concentration camps. Now, guys, listen to me for a second. This is so important that you listen to me on this. In Germany, in the concentration camps, these concentration camps, these worked slave labor camps, they were very, very real. I've never denied any of that, and I've never denied the Holocaust, and I've never denied the millions of people that died. Okay, I've never denied any of that stuff. But here's the thing. They show videotape of these people, these Jewish people and these Christian peoples and these Gypsies and all these different people who were against the Nazis, and they'd put the Jewish star on the ones that were Jewish, marching in the concentration camps, getting stripped down. They've got two guards there with a machine gun with, you know, the 20-round magazine, and they've got 5,000 prisoners coming in. I mean, I got a news flash for you. If they're taking you through a one-way turnstile, you might not want to go, especially if you got two guys sitting there with a 20-round mag. That's all they got. If you got 5,000 people with two guys guarding them, that didn't make any sense to me. But they did it over and over and over again. Now, I realize that after they got into the camps, they got drugged almost immediately with fluoride. That happened almost immediately. They make them servile and infertile. But the reality was this. They weren't drugged on the initial, when they were signing up to go and doing all the things they were doing and they were being moved. They weren't. They could have resisted at any point at that time. But guys, if you know, there was a really good video that was out. It was a guy by the name of Stanford Strong. And the name of the video was called Strong Against Crime. Austin, you saw it back in the 90s. And what he said was this, and it's very important. He says, if you ever get into a situation where you get carjacked, if you ever get into a situation where somebody comes into your home, if you ever get into a situation where you basically have to get away, he says, what you don't want to do is go to crime scene number two. Yep. He said, crime scene number two is where really bad things happen. Crime scene number two is where they take you to their house, or they take you out into an orange grove, or out into the woods, or out someplace in the middle of nowhere, and they rape you, and they torture you, and they kill you, and they leave you buried in a shallow grave. That's crime scene number two. The crime scene number one is where they abducted you. Okay? At crime scene number one, do whatever you have to do. And he said this. He said, if you're driving a car, and they jump in the passenger seat, and he says, and they tell you to drive, and they've got a gun, he goes, run into the building, run into a post, disable the car, throw them through the windshield, do whatever you have to do, wreck your vehicle to make sure you do not, I repeat, do not go to crime scene number two. He says, you can't let them take you somewhere remote where they can do whatever they want to do to you. You can't do that. You've got to make sure if you're going to make your stand, do it in the parking lot at Walmart. Do it in the parking lot at Sears. Do it in the parking lot of the local mall. Run in through the front doors of the doggone mall. You know, drive into the store. Do whatever you have to do. Get as many people around you as you can. Now, you say, well, he may shoot you. What do you think he's going to do to you at crime scene number two?
Yep.
What do you think is going to happen to you at crime scene number two? At least this way, you're going to have people around you. Here's the point. If they take you from your home forcibly by gunpoint to take you to a FEMA camp, your home is crime scene number one. You don't want to leave your home. Crime scene number two is where they're taking you. That's where bad things happen. That's the concentration camps. That's where people got killed in mass. Okay? Not a good place to go. At least be willing to say, you know what? I don't want to do that today. No, I'm not going to go. How about that? See, guys, that's what we all have to do. And if we have that mindset, if we have that mentality that we're not going to crime scene number two, we'll be able to withstand the onslaught of the tyranny which is attempting to envelop the United States. So, guys, pray. Pray that Hillary Clinton manifests herself on Wednesday night and goes into a full-blown hysterical hissy fit and collapses. I don't know what kind of meds they have her on, but I remember I told you on that last debate, they've got her dialed in. She's so dialed in on amphetamines or whatever they've got her on to keep her standing in a perpendicular position that what they're doing is they're having to give her weeks off between debates with no speaking engagements because she's simply too weak. That's what they're doing with her. So I don't know. That's why Trump said, I'd like to have both candidates drug tested just before the debate, because he couldn't understand how in the world she was able to actually do what she did and not fall down and do a face plant. Well, they've got some good drugs apparently they're giving her. They're doing all kinds of other things for her. Now, here's another article. The judge has now dismissed the Sandy Hook family's lawsuit against the gun maker. This is from Fox News. A judge on Friday dismissed a wrongful death lawsuit by the Newton families against the maker of the rifle used in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting massacre, citing an embattled federal law that shields gun manufacturers from most lawsuits over criminal use of their products. The families were seeking to hold Remington accountable for selling what their lawyers called a semi-automatic rifle that is too dangerous for the public. Their lawyer vowed an immediate appeal Friday's ruling. The judge agreed with the attorneys for the Madison, North Carolina-based Remington that lawsuits should be dismissed under the federal protection of the Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which was passed by Congress in 2005, and shields gun makers from liability when their firearms are used in crimes. Lawyers for Remington and Congress passed the act after determining such lawsuits were an abuse of the legal system. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I'm going to go out on a limb with this. This whole thing with Sandy Hook, as far as I'm concerned, appears to have been a false flag. Now, they know that. These judges know that. They know what's going on. They don't want this lawsuit coming up and then people being asked, why weren't there any medevac helicopters available? Why were no helicopters landed? Why were there no active ambulances at the scene? Why were there no funerals for the children at the scene? Why was this entire facility bulldozed, and why is it said that they hadn't been having school there for years? Anyhow, they've been closed. I mean, why about all these little holes in this little story that we've read about now for the last few years? They don't want that coming out, Austin, in a court of law and basically being put in as evidence as to try to rule this entire thing as a fake. Okay? So that's what they're scared about. Because we weren't told the truth about Sandy Hook. We weren't told the truth about 9/11. We certainly weren't told the truth about Randy Weaver and the boys out at Waco. No, I'm sorry, that was up in Ruby Ridge and all the David Koresh in Waco. All of these things get obfuscated. We weren't told the truth about Oklahoma City. None of this stuff. They don't want these lawsuits coming to the courts and having all of this put in evidence. They don't want any of this stuff. They want to have it quick and easy. Or nobody talks to the press. The guy over at Aurora, has anyone heard him utter a word to the press in the last 3 or 4 years since that happened? Nobody. Was it Adam Lambert or whatever his name was? I mean, nobody has issued anything about this guy. Or it wasn't Lambert, it was somebody, it was Adam Lanza.
Adam Lanza was from the Sandy Hook.
Okay. Who was that one kid who dressed like Batman who was out there in
Aurora. I don't know his name.
Whatever his name was. Who's heard him? Has anyone heard him testify? Has anyone heard him anything say about any of this stuff, about anything? Nobody. The media hasn't reported on it. Alternative media can't get to him. Nobody can get to him. They don't want someone to come in there like, see, this is the thing about I love about WikiLeaks, okay? WikiLeaks is shining a flashlight on the underbelly of the filthy, filthy politics in the United States. They're shining a flashlight on it. They walked into the room, and you can't see the roaches, and they flipped on the lights. And now all the roaches are scurrying, but they got a bunch of pictures of the roaches, and they're saying, hey, look, this is a bunch of roaches. This is bad. This is real bad. This place is infested. Okay? That's what they've done. And that's why the Democrats are freaking out, Obama's freaking out, Hillary's freaking out, everybody's freaking out, because they don't want the dirty underbelly of Democratic politics to be seen in the United States and allow we the people to see what they do behind the scenes. The lying sack of filth Hillary says, well, basically, I've got two sets of truth that I tell people. One's the lie that I call the truth that I tell my constituents, and the other thing is what I'm going to do when I get into office, because these other people are too stupid to understand anyhow. That's how she feels about the population of the country. That's how she really, truly feels. And she doesn't even see us as humans anyhow. She thinks we're all just a bunch of lowlife. And quite frankly, all I can say is this. The media has continued to encourage the people that are ignorant, who don't know any better. Think about this. So Donald Trump has some gutter talk. All right. We got that. Got that, okay? He likes to kiss girls and women. Okay. I kissed a lot of girls in college, okay? So now all these girls are going to say, well, Ted Brewer, he's running for president now, he kissed me and I was on my second date with him and I didn't know he was going to kiss me. He made sexual advances at me. It was 40 years ago. I'm going to be like, I don't even remember your name. I don't even remember you. How can I? This is ridiculous. So I tried to kiss you. I bet you were pretty back then. Who knows? Whatever. So he's a guy, okay? But remember, they want transsexualism. They want pansexualism. A guy kiss a girl? No. He's a male chauvinist pig. He's kissing a girl. well, guys, you know, when we were kids, we were taught that guys were supposed to kiss girls and girls were supposed to kiss guys. When I was a kid, it was taught to us that the guy was the person who was supposed to ask the girl out on a date. That's been flipped upside down now. Girls are constantly asking guys out on dates now, which, whatever. I mean, that's just, that's neither here nor there with me. But it was all different back then. It was almost like a, you didn't really know what your role was, but you knew you were supposed to like girls, and you knew you were supposed to kiss a girl because girls were really pretty, okay? That's what we thought. But now that's not right anymore. Now they can come back after 10, 15, 20, 30 years and say, Donald Trump tried to kiss me back in 1975. Okay, well, just maybe you should have kissed him back, and just maybe he should have married you, and just maybe you'd have been sitting in the Trump Towers right now. Just maybe, okay? So the truth of the matter is this. You know, we can't take something that he did 10, 15, 20 years ago and base it on his current place in his life spiritually. We can't, because hormones change a lot by the time you're 70 years old. Look at Bill Clinton. He's dying of AIDS. He looks awful. But here's the thing. This next president, if they get two terms, has a chance of putting four Supreme Court justices on the bench, maybe five in 8 years. If that happens and they put young liberal justices on the Supreme Court, they can literally change the laws in this country and rule from the court through judicial rulings for the next 20 to 30 years. Guys, this is the problem. We won't care about who in the world Donald Trump slept with or who he kissed in 15 years from now if that report has taken away, that court's taken away our gun rights and our freedom of speech and everything else. We won't think it was okay. We'll wish that we had forgot about Donald Trump's indiscretions or the fact that he liked to kiss a girl. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh, he kissed a girl, Austin. I don't even know what to say. He had locker room talk one time, talk about how pretty girls were. Okay, you're right. And he used some bad language. Okay, I got that. I'm not even trying to defend any of that. It's just that guys, girls and guys have been kissing for a long, long time before Donald Trump. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right about it. It's just the clear obfuscation of anything and everything they can try to throw at him and twist it into the media as much as possible to make it something negative. But back, I want to say something about Sandy Hook, because a lot of people I've talked to about that have always been on the fence, because a lot of people still don't believe the narrative. But just think about this from a just deductive reasoning standpoint. We had a shooting here in Orlando. We talked to actually one of the law enforcement officers that was doing the security outside of the building a week after the shooting. Dad and I drove up there. He said, or he had multiple people that were basically in paramedics that had extracted people out of the building who were shot, took them to the hospital. From what we saw and what we heard, the whole story of that shooting was definitely not what they told us, but
that's
it
right.
Did seem to appear that a lot of people were shot and a lot of people were injured. Take that to a secondary account with Sandy Hook, to where what is the statistical probability that this guy went into a school, shot every person that he wanted to shoot, and every person that he shot died on the scene immediately and was not even able to be revived or medevaced out, and the medevacs were not even allowed to go in, as Dad said, to bring helicopters in. The fact that there was never even any type of body count that actually was shown. There was never a gurney with a body bag on it shown. There was never any type of interior evidence photo shown. There was nothing absolutely shown whatsoever. The whole place was cordoned and blocked off, an entire acre around the entire building. And then after everything was said and done, they bulldozed the entire building to make sure no evidence could ever be found. That whole thing in Sandy Hook, in my opinion, was completely and totally set up from the beginning. A lot of people may argue with me of that. That's fine. Everybody has their own opinion. But just think about it, guys, from a tactical scenario, that this kid went into a building, a school, and shot and killed every single person he engaged and then shot himself. The likelihood of that are so slim. You're better off. You're more likely to win the lottery. You're more likely to get hit by lightning than you are to actually have that happen. So the whole truth from the very beginning was a complete and total lie from Sandy Hook. Nothing happened is what they told us. Nothing is what it seems. And in my opinion, the whole thing was a false flag, because the amount of paperwork and laws they had already got together to put in writing and put in act of gun right restriction, of magazine restriction, everything across the board was about to come to an end with the firearm industry. I remember 5.56 rounds going for $1 a bullet and 30 30-round PMAX for AR-15s going for $60 and $70 a piece when they're normally $9 and $10 a piece. That happened. I watched that happen. And nobody I have ever seen in my life, nobody was as scared as they were at that point in time on everybody's gun rights being completely and totally stripped from them. But the American population stood strong and said, this is not something we're going to allow. This is not something we're going to put up with. You're not going to put in these ridiculous federal restricting gun laws that completely and totally stripped us of our Second Amendment rights. So I just wanted to kind of put that in there, Dad, because that was one of those things that was a huge turning point for the United States that could have gone really bad. And what you just said about the Supreme Court, if we get four or five super liberal softies in there, if they're just all about transsexual rights, all about gun restrictions, all about gay agenda, all about basically everything immoral, which there's, I'm guarantee you, there's a lot of boys that are shooting for those seats that have absolutely zero and no morals or ethics. It will completely degrade the fabric of the United States once they start putting in Supreme Court rule law that oversteps everything we've built in this country. And that, in my opinion, is one of the biggest goals they have of trying to get one of these staunch Democrats like Hillary in there, because that's always going to be the plan B and C backup if something happens to her or vice president or whatnot. They're going to be able to fill the Supreme Court seats with absolutely pure and total garbage, in my opinion.
Well, she's already said she wants to put Barack Obama on the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah. And she also already said she's already thrown Bill Clinton's name out there.
Yeah.
Bill and Barack. Okay, there. That's what we need. We need Mr. Gay Kenyon on the Supreme Court with Mr. Let's rape and screw every woman I can find and make sure she doesn't tell anybody until 20 years later, and then everybody comes all out at once. I mean, and let's threaten to kill them in case they basically, excuse my language, in case they threaten to kill them in case they want to come out and tell the truth. I mean, this is absolutely awful that this is going on and that the Democrats are actually controlling the media to such a point. We talked about this yesterday with the media control, with the Sabbateans and the communists that came over from Russia and Germany in the 20s and the 30s. This is all part of that same plot. It's like right now Soros is being financed through the Rothschild banking cartel to increase the massive amount of illegals coming into Europe, okay, all of the Muslims. And because it's all being done to subvert and to control the cultures and to change it and get rid of the Christian influence in Europe completely. And they're trying to do that with the United States too. And we talked about that yesterday with the Holly producers, who absolutely, from an ancestral standpoint, loathe Christianity, and they're doing everything they can to go against Christianity and the people in the United States. Now, guys, I don't make this stuff up. I mean, I read these articles from these guys, and if I don't like something on an article, I'll say to you, I don't agree with that, or that, I don't really think that's right. Or, take this with a grain of salt. But guys, it's so blatantly obvious with the horror movies and the stuff that comes out, I won't subject myself to that stuff. I won't go to Halloween Horror Night at Disney World or Universal Studios. I don't want to see that stuff. See, I know when it goes bump in the night what it might be. I know that that a lot of that stuff is real.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I could tell you a story of what happened to me in a haunted house one time that would make your skin crawl. And it's true. And we used to live in that place. We moved out of there, gosh, 20-something years ago. And the next person who moved in that place, he told me stories that made my skin crawl and put goosebumps all over me after he moved into it. So I know this stuff is real. And I talk about it all the time. And you always say, well, I'd like to see some of that happen in my own life. Let me tell you something. I used to say that too. I don't ever say that anymore. And Austin knows he's never seen me go to another movie and like that ever again. I won't put that stuff in my brain.
No.
Because I experienced it in the middle of the night. I saw it happen. I can't tell you on the air, you guys will think I'm loony, but I've been in the middle of this stuff before. And I remember one time Logana Galions was in a haunted place. May she rest in peace. She was a former AAA agent for basically booking tours and cruises around the world. And she said one time she was in a home and it was haunted over in England. And she said, and they all thought it was a big joke, and they spent the night in there. And she said, in the middle of the night, a doggone candlestick and a lamp picked up in the air and floated around the room. She says, that was it, man. They were out of there instantaneous, looking for another place to stay the rest of the night. And she said, that was it. She didn't think it was cute, and I don't want to stay in a haunted place anymore. Guys, if you ever get exposed to that level of evil and you feel it, and I have, you don't want to go there anymore. But it makes you realize one thing really, really quick. What we talk about is real. This interdimensional stuff is real, and it's out there. and it goes, when it goes bump in the night, I reach for the 12 gauge, okay, with a 20 round drum in it. It's by my bed. The Sega 12 gauge with a 20 round drum beside the bed with buckshot and the other stuff, the slugs. Cause I know, now not that you're gonna help anything goes bump in the night, but maybe something else going bump in the night is gonna be trying to break in the house. So here's the whole thing. Guys, we've got to stand firm in Jesus Christ, and we've got to stand firm in what is right. Think on the good things, on the righteous, on the pure, on those good things. Don't allow yourself to get all caught up in the fear. It's just fear-mongering, fear porn is all it is. And what it's trying to do is generate enough energy to continue to feed these interdimensionals. And I talked about that in detail, about the light photonic energy that they live off of on one of the Hagman shows. Anyhow, what's your next story, Austin?
Well, this is interesting now. From what we're seeing with the massive influx of immigration now in the United States, it's getting crazier than it's ever been. A record now, record for the United States, 64.7 million non-English speakers are in the U.S. now, which has doubled since 1990, with Arabic as the fastest growing language in the United States. Yep. The new report shows explosive growth in the number of U.S. residents 5 years of age and older who speak a language other than English at home. It came out by the Center of Immigration Studies, which breaks down new census data, shows a record number of new immigrants in this country whose primary language is not English, and the fastest growing language is Arabic. More than one in five U.S. residents now speak a foreign language at home. And that doesn't mean they speak two or three different languages fluently. That means their primary language is not English, and they can rarely speak any type of other language correctly. It states on here, a common language is the means by which immigrant groups communicate with other or with larger in the society, meaning that it's not their other, they do not have other languages they speak. They even stated on here, of those who speak a foreign language at home, 26 million of the 64 million now in the United States told the Census Bureau that they speak English less than very well, which means that's not very good. Languages with more than a million speakers in 2015, Arabic came up to number three as 1.2 million now, as the only language they speak in the United States is Arabic. Spanish was 40 million, Chinese was 3.3, but guys, Arabic 1.2 million, and that's the only language they speak. I don't have anything against immigration in the United States, especially legally. As you guys know, my grandma, Oma, on dad's side, came over here after World War II. She didn't speak English at all, but she learned. I mean, when I knew her, when I was younger, she spoke perfect English, and she spoke German. She always had a German accent when she spoke English, but it was still excellent English. And the thing that frustrates me the most about this is that people want to come here. They want to get free health care. They want to get free housing. They want to get free money. They want to get free subsidies. And then they don't even have the smallest amount of respect to at least learn the language of this country. To me, that is extremely, extremely disrespectful. I would never even think to go to another country, much less expect something like that, but go there and not start to learn their language as best as I could. And that's just me, but apparently a lot of other people now, 64 million in the United States, don't have that mentality, guys. A fifth of the United States now, and it's very frustrating to me. I wanted to bring that up because of how bad this is starting to progress, whereas Dad said before, this is what it was about, is bringing in the people that didn't care about the United States, not the immigration that wanted to come here and make America stronger, that wanted to contribute to the workforce, that wanted to help everybody and come together and make America even better than it was. It's the individuals that see the United States as a giant honeypot of free things to get, and they want to come here and exploit us like they've done now. And I'm not saying the 64.7 million people that don't speak English in the United States all have that same intent, but I am saying I can guarantee you a very large percent of them don't even have enough respect to learn English correctly or even very well. That goes to show you that they don't have respect for a lot of other aspects of American culture. So that's why I just want to kind of say that, get my piece done with that now. Since I read it, I just want to kind of put that out there, guys.
Well, you know, Austin, I talked to Patty. She's a friend of ours in L.A. County. She's down there by Laguna Beach, close to Laguna, just outside of L.A. And she said that her daughters are in the school there, and now one of the primary secondary languages they teach is Arabic in the schools. She said they're being inundated, and she got so frustrated. She was in tears this weekend when I was talking to her, and she said, I got to leave here. I can't stay out here anymore. She goes, Ted, it's so awful. She goes, the reality is these guys are bringing these women over here to basically breed with, these Muslim guys.
Yep.
And he says, and they were bringing in, they have four or five wives through their Sharia law, but they don't call them their wives or whatever, so they don't get busted for polygamy. And they start breeding with them when they're like 16, 17 years old, and they're having six or seven kids. And she goes, and that's each wife. And she goes, and after five or six wives, you know, they're having 20, 30 kids, this one guy is. She goes, within just about 20, 30 years, that whole Arab population is going to explode. Instead of having 2 million, we're going to have, you know, 60, 70 million over here. And she goes, and they're going to completely destroy the United States. She goes, I've got to move into a more rural area with my kids, and I have to start homeschooling Nicole because I'm not going to allow her to be dealing with this mess anymore, because they're constantly, because she's got blonde hair and blue eyes, they're constantly saying all kinds of weird stuff to her. The Arabs are, because of the blonde hair and blue eyes. Now, guys, you know, you think about this. We've done this because we've put these Democrats into office, and we've done this through this, basically through the doctrine, through the hierarchy of being politically correct. Well, I'm here to tell you that I'm a politically correct heretic. I don't believe that stuff. I believe, and I talked about it yesterday, if a race or an ethnic group is screwing around with you and screwing around with your country, call them out. It doesn't matter if they're a Jew or a Muslim or a German or a Russian or a Chinaman or whatever. If you got a group of these people that are doing this, you got to call them out for what they are. Now, you say, well, that sounds like you're being bigoted. I'm not being bigoted, just telling the truth. Well, the Bible tells us the truth will set you free. But the Bible also tells us, and Jesus said this, light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. And the reason that Lucifer runs around in the dark is because he masquerades as an angel of the light. He wants you to think that he's all of this and all of that, but when you get him out in the bright sunshine, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like being exposed for what he really is. He may be pretty from a distance, but up front, you're not going to really think he's so hot, I guess. So that's what's happening with all of this. You say, well, you need to be right and you need to be respectful to all these different races. Okay, I agree. You need to be respectful to everybody. But when they start raping your children, raping your daughters, raping your wives, and they start taking over your school systems and start implementing Sharia law, you know, I'm not okay with that. When they start taking over Hollywood or taking over the media and putting filth in front of us and running the pornography industry, we talked about this yesterday, I'm not okay with any of that. So why in the world do I have to be politically correct to try to say, okay, I'll accept all that? No, I don't want to accept it. It's absolutely awful. The problem is we've been so programmed and trained to be politically correct. We're like a bunch of dancing seals at a stinking circus. You know, we basically run out there and we bark and we do what we're told to do. We pat our hands together. Are you joking me? That's not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be Americans. How do you think this country got founded? King George decided he wanted to make us live under tyranny, and we said, hey, guess what? We don't want to live under tyranny anymore. You guys, you redcoats, you guys are really bad news. We think we want you to leave. How about that?
Well, we don't want to leave, man. You're going to be politically incorrect. We're redcoats. We're cool.
No, you're not cool. Get out. We're done. See, that's the thing that we have to understand. If someone's not being cool, if they're doing things you don't want them to do in your country, it's our country. Putin said, I don't need any Muslims in Russia. They come to my country, they're obeying the laws. If they don't obey my laws, get out. We don't want them here. Now, that's politically incorrect for the United States. Who cares? Putin's telling the truth. Trump is telling the truth. That's why so many people have gotten on the Trump bandwagon. The Democrats are running scared, putting polling numbers out like Hillary's, you know, 47%, Trump's 37%. That's a complete and total lie. They're doing it because they want you to think, as a Trump voter, that Hillary's already won the election and there's no reason for you to go to polls on November the 8th because it's futile, because she's so far ahead she can't be beaten. That's complete and total crap, excuse my language. There's no way with their diabolical election equipment and the hacking of the elections that they can handle a landslide. They can't do it. They can do it in certain districts, in certain precincts, in swing states. But if the entire country comes out and says, hey, it's 80% Trump, pound salt, you stinking globalists. We don't want the wicked witch of Benghazi in the White House. We say no. If we do that, and we do it in aggregate, and we have an 80% landslide, and we win all 50 states like Reagan did, they can't undo that. They can't fix that. They can't corrupt that. The data can't be done because there's too much just too much to do. They can't hack every precinct. They don't have the computer technology for it. It's unprecedented the federal government has taken over the election now. They want to run through the Department of Homeland Security. But I guarantee you they're doing that for a reason. They do not want Donald Trump in the White House telling you guys the truth. Everything he says to you guys, we've been telling you guys for years and years and years. And then Hillary, the witch, goes, I don't know what reality he's living in. I don't know what universe he's from. But you know what? I don't even understand any of this stuff. These are all complete lies. And people are openly booing her at the doggone debates when they see when she says stuff like that. Because they know she's a lying sack of yik-yak. They know that. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows what she is. And they don't want her in the White House. They don't can't stand her. And only the Democrats that are just true blue Democrats who will vote for a Democrat no matter what they believe or whatever they say are the ones who are going to vote for her, the ones that are so stupid they can't see and chew gum at the same time, and some of them claim to be Christians. I mean, this is complete and total nonsense, and we as Americans and we as Christians have got to stand in the aggregate, Austin, and say, genug, which is German for enough, we're not going to do this anymore. No, I'm not going to march quietly down the night. No, you're not going to take me away to a concentration camp. Hey, maybe I don't want to go. Maybe I don't want to go to a concentration camp. Maybe I don't want to go to crime scene number two. No. That's what this is going to be. If Hillary Clinton wins this election, we're all going to get to go to crime scene number two. Guys, and it's me for one, but me and my household, we serve the Lord, and I have no intentions on going to crime scene number two, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. And I like the way you use that analogy, because I specifically remember that show. So we watched it a few different times. Had some really good information in it. And that's what you talked about was incredibly good in detail on not going to crime scene number two. Now, also, too, back to the health article for today, this is another one now. The PAN, which is the Pesticide Action Network International, has now issued a 96-page report this month titling glyphosate that every person on the planet should be concerned about. According to the report, Monsanto, glyphosate, Roundup, they're all synonymous with the number one selling herbicide, which you guys know, using genetically modified crop agriculture, even though glyphosate is manufactured by many countries or many companies in other countries. It goes on to state on here, though, that, again, what we've been talking about, that the off-book usage of glyphosate now on the recommendations of using it on non-GMO foods is causing a massive epidemic. It's a 96-page report. According to the report, they state on here, it can cause endocrine disruption, reproductive and developmental problems, neurological and immune issues. It has equally devastating effects on the environment, aquatic effects, soil and plant health, earthworms, beneficial insects, birds, animals, livestock, and domestic animals. Low concentrations of glyphosate can even damage the liver, kidneys, skin cells, and cause aging and potentially cancer. It has increased 15-fold since the introduction of GM, Roundup, Ready Crops in 1996, and it goes on to discuss other parts of it that are just unbelievably toxic to the body. But guys, I know I've talked about this so many times, and I know I'm being redundant. I'm not, you know, I don't forget that I talk about this all the time. The reason why I brought this up is because I want to remind you guys and a lot of our new listeners that have been coming on to the show now and listening is that this is another report, again, linking glyphosate to all these problems. We're not the only people talking about this. The other 100 different research studies are not the only studies talking about this. More and more studies and reports now are coming out on the detrimental effects of this stuff, especially on the endocrine system, because it's an endocrine disruptor, and it's horrible on the reproductive system and on the digestive system. This stuff is a toxic, toxic filth that should never even been invented. That's being pressed upon the American population and a lot of the world now. But America is the most used area as far as glyphosate anywhere in the world. That's why it's so important you keep this stuff cut out of your diet. That's why I tell people now, just cut wheat out of your diet. Cut wheat. I don't care what they want to say about gluten. Whether you're gluten insensitive, it's bad for you this, it's good for you that, I don't care. They're using it now on almost all wheat products that are not GMO. They're using it as a desiccant 3 days before harvest on almost all wheat fields now, guys. Like 90% of all the wheat fields in the United States are getting hit with this stuff before they harvest it, and they're not even GMO crops. It kills the plant. It kills it. So wheat out of your diet. Bread is just not going for anybody right now. It's not a good option.
Right.
We were at a restaurant the other day. I got steak with some vegetables. So I don't eat steak very often, but I really wanted a filet mignon. And they came out with a big thing of rolls. And Lana got one, and she was eating one. She goes, "You can eat that?" I said, "No, I don't eat that." She goes, "Well, you don't want that. They're really good." I said, "They're delicious. I could eat three or four of them right now." I said, "They're great." I said, "But I'm not going to eat them." And she's like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, you know why." And she's like, "Yeah, I know." And she puts it back, and she's like, "I just really wanted one." I said, "You can eat one if you want. I don't care." I said, "I'm just telling you, I'm not going to put that sludge in my body." I said, "I know it's wheat. I know it's been hit with glyphosate because they're not using any type of high-quality wheat here at a restaurant for rolls. And it's bread. So it's going to plug up your colon. It's going to make you fat, and it's going to make you feel bad, especially when you get the glyphosate exposure, because I don't eat anything now that's been exposed to glyphosate knowingly, and I do a pretty good job of it as well." So, yeah, just cut it out of your diet. It's not that hard to cut out. Once you start figuring out how to get your carbohydrates from really good sources like organic lima beans, green beans, organic sweet potatoes, you can really eat clean and not even cut your carbohydrates super low. That's what I tell people. You don't have to go on these super low carbohydrate restrictive diets where you're eating, you know, 50 grams of carbs a day. That's all you get. You feel tired and you're trying to get cut up and you're slowing your metabolism down. You can eat food, but it needs to be clean, pure food, not this wheat stuff anymore, guys. Wheat is not what it was 50, 60 years ago. It can't be a staple in your diet. The cereals, the breads, the pizzas, the pastas, you got to cut them out. There's absolutely no reason to be putting this stuff in your body anymore because, like I said, 9 out of 10 times that you eat wheat now, 90% of the wheat now is being treated before harvest. So 9 out of 10 times that you eat wheat, it has residual glyphosate in it. To me, that's enough to not even want to touch it in any circumstances. So that's why I wanted to bring that up today on glyphosate again, because more and more and more people are talking about this stuff and telling you to stay away from it.
Well, you're right, Austin. In fact, I would go higher than that. I would say if it's not organic, 100% of the wheat you're eating has glyphosate, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know, I mean, that means guarantee you 10 out of 10 times you're in a restaurant that's not an organic health food store, you're eating glyphosate if you eat wheat. So it's just not worth it. I'm the same way you are. I mean, I've got a friend of mine who owns a pizza restaurant, and he always likes to bring pizzas over with us. I'm always like, "Well, go ahead. You know, I'm not going to have any of it. I'm not going to be involved in this. I'm not going to eat this. I can't tell everybody on these shows every day how bad bread is." And guys, listen to me. Austin's right. Bread just makes you fat anyhow, so just stay away from it. That's what the health tip of the day. Don't eat bread. Now, here's another article. The new Obama executive order hints at a devastating space event which could disable large portions of the electrical power grid, causing cascading failures. This is from Mark Salvo. Space weather events such as solar flares, solar energetic particles, and geomagnetic disturbances have long been believed to pose a significant threat to our technologically advanced society, with the ability to not only affect global positioning satellites, but on-Earth electronics that include entire domestic and global power grids. In the latest executive order signed by the Gay Kenyan, the president calls for coordination between various government agencies, including the Department of Defense and Homeland Security, should a major space weather event come to pass. Though often missed as nothing more than fear-mongering, the threat of space weather events is not only a possibility, it is quite probable, as evidenced by a massive solar flare which narrowly missed Earth in 2012. You know, here's the thing. I'm going to say this is important again. Critical supplies need to be protected with a, you know, Faraday cage. So it's like, for instance, if you've got a barn, a metal building or whatever, or a net or whatever, and you have a secondary vehicle that you're going to use as a bug out vehicle, just keep it covered up with a copper netting. Just do something you need to in case the electronics get busted out on it. And you say, "Well, that's kind of ridiculous." Well, I've got a metal building that I built 25 years ago before I thought about all of this stuff. And so all my stuff kind of stays in there because I know it's easier to keep it in there and keep it protected. The truth of the matter is this, guys. We don't know what he's doing. He could just be obfuscating to try to distract people again from the election by signing this executive order. Or the government and NASA could know something that we don't know. They're not trying to tell us because they're too scared of letting us know the truth. There's a reason they're building these deep underground military bunkers everywhere. They know years in advance if something's coming this way. I mean, you hear about Planet X all the time. I have no idea if that thing's in hyperbole or if it's even real. But all I know is this. Solar flares are real, and they happen on a regular basis. So, guys, make sure your water's stored up. Make sure your food's stored up. We tell you this stuff all the time. It's not like we're not trying to nag you. We're trying to protect you. You guys are our friends. Well, guys, I love you guys. I appreciate you. I just want to thank you for letting me go on my little rants every once in a while like I did today. I hope you guys enjoyed them. I hope you guys learned something from them. I hope you appreciate me doing this because I'm sticking my neck out there pretty far when I say things that I say. So thank you for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for all the incredible emails that we've had this week from the show that I did with Hagman and the shows we do this week with you guys, and for all the positive encouragement you give me. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to go ahead and let you finish, Austin. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. And, guys, also, too, the GHI Cleanse product of the week is on sale till basically tomorrow morning. It will be changing to whatever wins. Now, the purple sticks right now, as a lot of you guys, already gotten emails, you're pretty excited and you're hoping it's winning. The purple sticks are a couple votes ahead of the enhanced sleep support. So I suggest you guys, if you do want the purple sticks to go to on a pretty intense sale for a week, make sure you vote on them. Make sure they win, because the enhanced sleep support is creeping up pretty fast from a lot of the votes that I've been watching online. And that will actually put the, if it wins, the purple sticks will be on sale for an entire week for you guys. And we got another batch in again last week, so we got a pretty decent amount of inventory for everybody that we should be able to fulfill while it's on sale, unless everybody just goes crazy. But, you know, I don't think you guys will do that. You should have plenty of them on hand. But, we run out of it randomly, so just throwing that out there. But, yeah, absolutely. You guys need anything, you give us a call. Email us, healthmasters.com. We're always here for you guys. We appreciate all the emails I've been getting. I'm trying to respond to a lot of them. Also, too, we still have the 5% off coupon, the Talk to Ted. That's still going on this week. So if you guys want to take advantage of that before the end of the week, that was kind of an appreciation sale that we have going on for everybody. You can call us up over the phone and place it, or you can place it online at healthmasters.com. So that's still going on. Anything else, guys, like I said, email us. We're pretty fast about trying to respond to emails as quickly as possible. And the phone's been crazy lately, so if you call us up and you got to sit on hold for 4 or 5 minutes, I apologize about that, but we are a small company. That's what we do here. We help everybody out the best we can. So a lot of times we may be on the phone for a little bit longer with a customer because we're really trying to get them the best information that we have so that they can, you know, get healthier and get better and get on the right track. So I appreciate you guys being patient with us whenever you call. You got to sit on hold for a few minutes. It's just, it happens sometimes. But you guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.